Food Farm Talk on CFRU 93.3 FM. Hello, listeners. Welcome to another exciting episode of Food Farm Talk on CFRU 93.3 FM. I am your host, Abdulrahim Abdullahi. Today, we are bringing you another exciting discussion on a topic that many people do not actually take notice of. And this has to do with plastic waste. One of the biggest issues of the globe today has been issues around plastic waste and how we use plastic. Part of the problem has to do with food. And that is why, even though it is plastic, it is important we try to understand how our food habits actually influence this broader context of plastic pollution. And actually, we have a great group of students on campus that are doing some very interesting work that is worth noting for both the campus community and the city of Guelph and beyond. And today, I have with me a group of those students that are here to talk to us about some of the work they are doing. But before then, I also have my co-host, Emily Duncan, who also happened to be their teaching assistant for this course, which this group of students have been working on as part of an experiential learning project. And before I'll get to the students and allow them to expatiate on some of the things they are doing, I would like Emily to tell us a little bit more about the project and like about the course and what the course is all about and what the students are actually doing.
Yeah, thanks, Abdul. So this course is called ICON, which actually is an acronym. It stands for Ideas Congress. And it's a course that started about 5 years ago here on campus. And it's really unique to other courses. I think in a lot of university settings, we spend a lot of time sitting in a lecture hall, trying to pay attention for hours at a time. This course really takes that model and flips it on its head. It's a project-based course, which allows students to get more experience in working in groups. So all the students are in groups of 3 to 5. And then they work on a project over the course of the semester. And there's also a community partner with the class. So this is trying to extend the research that we're doing beyond the classroom and actually benefit somebody in the community. And the course has had various partners over the years. We've worked with the Seed Food Hub in Guelph. We've worked with Wellington Brewery. But this year, we're looking a little bit more internally. And the partner for the ICON course this year is actually the university itself. So this year, the goal of the ICON course has been to find pathways and solutions for the University of Guelph to become a single-use plastic-free campus, which is super exciting. And so we have students who've been working on this project all semester, and we think that the project will actually take several semesters to get through. This is the first step, and there'll probably be 2 more semesters of ICON students who work on this project. The other really interesting thing about the ICON course is that it's open to students of all levels and all disciplines. So we have first, second, third, and fourth year students in this class, all mixed together in the groups. And we also have students from every academic background. I think there's good representation from most of the colleges in the enrollment of this class. So it truly provides an interdisciplinary learning environment for students and gives them that experiential learning program that I think is trying to be implemented more and more in universities these days.
Thank you very much, Emily, for taking time to explain what the course is about. And I'm really excited to hear about some of like the kind of model that is used in designing this program. And like I mentioned earlier, we do have a few students, two of the students here in the studio, to tell us about what work they have done throughout the semester and how important this work has been and what we can actually take out from the work in terms of the campus community and the city as well. And today I want to take a back seat and allow Emily to run the show. So Emily will ask most of the questions and try to engage the students. I will chip in when the need be to seek further clarification in ways that can benefit our listeners. So Emily, you can take over from here.
Sure. Thanks, Abdul. I'd just like to start that we have 2 of our star students here, and I'd like to give them an opportunity to introduce themselves.
Hi, my name is Zoe Bai. I'm a fourth year nutrition and nutraceutical science student here at Guelph.
And I'm Kira, and I'm also in nutritional and nutraceutical sciences. Zoe and I are just so happen to be two friends taking the same class together.
Awesome. And what drew you to choose this ICON course in kind of this stage in your degree program?
I decided to take this course after a professor recommended it. Actually, Dr. Becker recommended it as a great opportunity to learn a little differently rather than the typical classroom setting. And I really wanted to try to take the opportunity to have this kind of learning opportunity and learn with first years and second years and third years and help share my experiences along the way.
Yeah, so like Emily said, it's much different than the regular classroom setting that you get throughout your university experience. So Zoe and I were really looking forward to kind of immersing ourselves into a different side of the biological sciences, day-to-day, attend lecture, technically fall asleep. So it's really nice that ICON is super engaging and super involving, especially across all disciplines and across all years of academic study here. So you really get to learn how to kind of like disseminate and transfer the information that you learn throughout your major and your discipline and teach it to others who have absolutely no idea what you're talking about. So it's definitely a learning curve, and I think something that a lot of people need to do throughout their university career.
Yeah, it sounds like this course has been a really good addition to your program of study, kind of giving you that opportunity. And so as we started the show talking about that this year, the course is focused on eliminating single-use plastics on the University of Guelph campus. And in your opinion, kind of why is it important to you to have a plastic-free campus? And what is, in your research throughout the course, what are some of the impacts of the use of plastics?
Well, plastics have a huge impact on our campus and in this world. And personally, one of the reasons why I was so passionate about this project is I am a huge advocate against littering. It just really annoys me. So it was really happy to be able to see that we could work towards getting a litter-free and plastic-free campus, and in addition to getting the campus plastic-free.
Yeah, completely agree with Zoe on that one. It's we don't know the topic going into course selection, so we kind of blindly select the ICON credit and hope that we're gonna get a good golden seed out of it. We definitely did with this one because both of our backgrounds are in food and nutrition, so we kind of just got really lucky with that one. And then working with a lot of environmental governance students and geography students who have a different take on the reasons why we should be single-use plastic-free. It's really interesting seeing everybody's different opinion of it and the importance of, you know, helping be the forefront of making Ontario single-use plastic-free, because that was just announced on the 18th of March, I believe, that we're going to try for that one. So it's just one little step in the massive world, and hopefully we can make that one initial step.
Yeah, I think that's a really good point that, you know, kind of change starts right here at what we have control over. And that's it's up to the students and the faculty and staff to define what our campus looks like and what our sustainability goals are. And so going plastic free, I think, is super important and the right step towards, yeah, changing larger goals of in our city and, you know, the provincial government also adopting those types of goals as well. So let's dive in a little bit deeper into kind of some of the aspects of the course and how your projects have been progressing. We're coming up close to the end of the semester. Final presentations for the course are happening on Monday, which we're really excited. I'm really excited to see how the projects kind of shaped up in the end. So could you tell us a little bit about, you guys are on kind of different groups within the class, what your group has been focusing on specifically?
My group has been focusing on quantifying the amount of plastics that have that are being thrown out on campus on a day-to-day basis. So we decided to team up with the Sustainability Office as they were doing a waste audit. They just completed the audit and got the data all back to us. And it's including most of the buildings on campus, including the waste and the recycling, and specifically what components of the waste and recycling they found, such as plastic bottles, plastic lids, or different classifications of plastic, even the PP plastics or the PET plastics. This information will help us be able to really understand the problem that we have and really help the next year's ICON students grow with this problem and really help tackle it and find a solution.
Yeah, I think that kind of aspect of the project is a super important step to how can we stop or end single-use plastics when we don't even know how much we're creating in the beginning? So that quantification part of it, I think, is a really important piece of the puzzle here. And Kira, what's your group been working on?
So my group is also on the quantification side of things. The class was split into essentially two sections at the beginning of the semester, and you could decide if you wanted to play a part in being the marketing or the media side of this whole initiative, or if you wanted to be part of the quantification side. And both Zoe and I are part of the quantification side. My group specifically is considering the supply chain. So essentially what plastics and what single-use plastics come into campus and where they're coming from. So an example would be like our vendors in the Center 6, or as most people know it, the University Center. We have an extensive list of products that have been ordered over the year 2018, and my group basically totally deciphered and ripped apart that Excel document to make it into an easier to read format for future students, and we definitely have some interesting things that we've ordered on the list, so it's going to be interesting to see what people think of our document and what people think of our research so far.
And so how many items were on that list? Because I can imagine ordering for all the different like places that sell food products at the UC.
Yeah.
That's a lot just for one building, right?
It is, yeah. So it was a pretty extensive list. It was hovering roughly around 21 to 2300 items. And the individual that had forwarded the list to us, he did say that it wasn't actually like as clean as he would wanted it to be. There might be some items that are missing. And we kind of even noticed a few things that were like, hey, like why isn't this product on here? Especially products that don't come in plastic. We're like, haven't seen that one. So it's interesting to find out what's on it for sure. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so kind of within both your groups, what are some of the most interesting results that you've found so far by doing these projects?
One of the interesting things I found was the discrepancies between what plastics came from what buildings and what were the popular plastics from each building. For example, the library was had a lot of coffee cups disposed of, but if you compare that to a residence building, it's more food containers and things like that. So just noticing these differences will help know where to target the solution for these problems.
It'd be really interesting to know if it was like who was the producer of the coffee cups. Like, do you think it would have been Starbucks or do you think it would have been Tim's? Like, seeing as though the Starbucks is within the library, I would have assumed that it would be the Starbucks cups, but I'm not sure if the waste audit reads that for you guys.
Unfortunately, they do not specify on brand names, but I would assume the library coffee cup disposals would be mostly Starbucks.
Mm.
Yeah. I think that's a super interesting result. And to kind of give our listeners a better idea of like what do we really mean by waste audit? I know that the Sustainability Office is the one who orchestrated it, but is it actually digging through the garbage and sorting out what's in it?
Yeah, so they actually went through the garbage and weighed the garbage and weighed certain components of the garbage. So they did it all in weight, all in kilograms. So they would have a certain weight allotted to a certain type of plastic or a certain weight allotted to paper products, fibers, food waste, etc.
Mm-hmm. And did they do that both for just, because we do have some recycling bins around that, you know, when you're holding something, you see just a garbage or, and you're like, oh, this could really be recycled. Did the waste audit kind of catch that discrepancy between like the waste that's going into recycling and the waste that's going into garbage?
So they did note each of the components in the waste and in the recycling. And each of them individually. So if an item was in the wrong space, coffee cup in the recycling, for example, they would take note of that and put it into the right category.
Oh, okay. That's, I think, a really interesting part, because I'm wondering, like, in your experience in being a student, do you find that it's easy to know where things go? I find myself, like, I'm holding a coffee cup, or maybe I take the lid off, but then I think maybe one part of this is recyclable, but I'm not quite sure.
I definitely think there's a huge lack of knowledge on campus. And even for myself, I thought I knew quite a lot about recycling, but turns out I don't know as much as I did. And yeah, I think we definitely need to find a way to increase the knowledge on campus about all these recycling practices and what plastics can go where, and just more about how you throw out your stuff.
Yeah, I think that's super important. And it sounds like the waste audit is kind of one step towards that. Kira, what are some of the most interesting results that you found kind of at more of the beginning stage of the cycle of waste, of when we actually buy these products?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you were in class. You were in class, and we had mentioned that we had separated the list into the top 10 most ordered products. So a couple of my group members agreed that maybe we should omit beverages, because obviously beverages would have been top 10 ordered lists no matter what, would have just been in the beverages. So we omitted the beverages and decided to move throughout the rest of the list. And we order over 46,000 liters of canola oil a year.
Oh my gosh. That's a lot of canola oil.
Yep. And that's just for Center 6 too. So we didn't take into the consideration of like the amount of canola oil, maybe the bullring orders, but like still it's a lot. Next is close to 14,000 kilograms of like boneless, skinless chicken breast.
Wow.
Yep.
And so this isn't annual order?
Yeah, so okay. The order list that we received from Hospitality Services was for 2018.
Okay.
So they've already started pumping into the 2019 one, I'm assuming.
Wow. That's a lot of chicken breasts, 14,000 kilograms in a year.
Yep. Two more really interesting ones here. Sorry to all you vegetarians out there, but we order close to 750 kilograms of bacon.
Wow.
That's a lot of bacon. It's just on campus.
Yeah.
It's just on campus, and it's just in one building on campus.
Yeah. So whoever the like Hospitality Services orders for, so I do know sometimes that they place orders for like South residents and like Creelman. But yeah. And the last like really astonishing one that kind of makes sense for a lot of university students is going to be 4,000 kilograms of chicken fingers.
That's a lot of chicken fingers as well. Yeah. Wow. It sounds like the top items on that we're ordering off this list are, one, maybe not the most healthy choices.
No, but staples in a university student's diet.
It goes back to the issue of the food habits.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right,
so. Definitely part of the food habits of university students to rely on chicken fingers.
It actually has some like broader implications on the kind of waste we generate. And the project we are doing is absolutely pointing out some of these things in relation to our everyday lives and our interaction with food just on campus. Like, and we can actually imagine what this looks like from the more broader perspective for let's say the city.
Yeah, it totally gives us a different perspective of, you know, the background of like your food ordering and being in the UC or being in other food places on campus. You don't realize how much effort and time and resources and single-use plastic and how many players are involved in just getting those chicken fingers and french fries on your cafeteria tray during the day. Like, I know a lot of people tend to think of the University of Guelph as, you know, the top food campus in like Canada, right? So it's like, why isn't our first ordered one like, I don't know, a coleslaw or kale or apples? Like it's
a lot of meat.
Yeah, and it's interesting to think about that, you know, each of these items ordered, they're coming wrapped in plastic, then they're probably in a larger plastic bag. And then that whole order is wrapped together on a skid, wrapped in single-use plastic. And then, you know, when we're thinking about these numbers, 46,000 liters of oil, like, yeah, that's a lot of plastic.
I know. And then, too, like, if you think about all the other Ontario universities, too, like, they obviously have to be quantifying as much as we are when we order things. So, you know, why can't we kind of band together as Ontario universities to try and reduce the amount of single-use plastic that we bring into our food service locations? It's just, it's ridiculous the amount that comes in. And sometimes, too, the waste audits that these universities are doing might not include all of the plastic that comes on the skid when the food gets shipped here, or how it comes, what kind of package it comes in, or what they're looking for in their waste audit. It might not be the background stuff that's used just in the kitchen. It might just be what students see, right?
Yeah. Our waste audit did lack the back end of things, so it would be very interesting to complete a waste audit on the back end or the kitchen end of things and how all these products that are ordered accumulate to all the plastic on campus.
Yeah, I'm actually enjoying this discussion. I don't want to break it, but as you are still listening to Food Farm Talk on CFRU, and today we are actually talking about plastic waste on campus and the implication of our everyday food habits. And like I mentioned always, we are still in a turbulent time at the station here, CFRU, and many other campus stations around Ontario due to the Student Choice Initiative that was brought forward earlier in the year. This initiative stands to bring campus communication and student organizations to an end if it goes through. So we are still appealing to the public for signatures or sending or emails to MPPs in terms of appealing to them to raise the issue and trying to support our efforts to rescind this decision. So it's still an interesting discussion. And getting back to my guest today, there's earlier in the semester, with regard to your project, I saw some few things regarding the elimination of plastic straws at the UC. I don't know if you want to touch on that before we run out of time, like in terms of our everyday use of straws on campus.
Yeah, so the universities have made some great strides towards ending the use of plastics. The first step was the elimination of straws. And I think in some ways that in social media, and I don't know if you've seen this, Zoe and Kira, but that there's sometimes a bit of a backlash to saying like, hey, we're not going to offer these types of plastic on campus anymore. And I think that could be for a pretty diverse range of reasons. And one is accessibility, that some people do need to use straws. But then I think there's also sometimes a bit of a backlash in terms of convenience or things that we're used to. And so understanding behavioral change is an important part of implementing a new sustainability initiative. The other thing that the campus has recently just announced that I'm really excited about is that at the University Center, they are going to start implementing a reusable dishes program. So we already have kind of the reusable green box takeaway containers, but now there's actually going to be like, you know, porcelain dishes, like
cutlery,
that can be used on campus. So, what are some of your thoughts of like these kind of steps and how they've been received by the student body? Because, you know, you guys are the ones who are interacting with your peers all the time. And what have been your thoughts of how students have been adopting or accepting these programs?
The straw one is actually really interesting because the Starbucks coffee shops on campus no longer have straws because the entire campus doesn't have straws. But they have these really interesting, innovative, like kind of dome lids almost. And I do see a lot of students still like ripping out straws from somewhere and just putting the straw into it, and I'm like, what? That totally defeats the entire purpose of having these new lids that designed a proper way to drink your drink without straws. So it's interesting.
Yeah, I think one of the big things it's hard to break habit. So if people are used to using a straw, they're going to continue to want to use a straw, regardless of what kind of special dome lid you've given them. So I think a very important part of this scenario is including alternatives or having access to possible alternatives throughout this process. So it's not just banning all these items that contain plastic, but it's having a responsible alternative to go for instead.
Yeah, I think that's super important. I just want to say thank you guys for being on the show today. I think we've learned a lot from your projects and the research that you've been doing through the ICON course. Is there anything else that you'd like to leave listeners with?
Before you build Kira and Zoe out, I just want to ask like a very quick question. Each of you has like a minute to tell me like, what message do you want to give to our listeners out there in terms of their food habits or in terms of their use of plastic in their everyday?
Yeah.
If you go to a grocery stores, like using plastic at home, like what message from what you have learned so far in your program?
Yeah.
What do you want to
I think the one message I would have is to just be open-minded to the new changes that are coming with the banning of single-use plastic. You know, try not to be closed-minded. There are some definite really sweet alternatives for plastic use, especially in the grocery store too. Don't forget to bring your plastic bags. And there's also some really interesting produce bags that are kind of made out of mesh. They almost look like a laundry bag. Don't forget to look for those. Just be open-minded and don't forget to look for alternatives.
Yeah, the point that I would add in there is just to be conscious. Be conscious of what the plastics you are using and consciously think about how you can try to start reducing that use of those plastics. And it's just that conscious thought that will help you get into the mindset of how you can start to make those little changes.
Thank you very much, Emily, for bringing in your students and also sitting on the show to kind of takes some kind of burden out from me. I really appreciate your time and your effort to come and kind of educate us, more or less like remind us, because a lot of us do already know some of these things. So thank you very much, Kira and Zoe, for taking
time. Thank you for having us.
Yeah, and in fact, I am very optimistic. My listeners out there, I will actually appreciate some of the points you raised today. So like I mentioned earlier, we've been talking about plastic waste on campus, but it goes beyond just the university campus. It reflects in our everyday lives. And we've talked about the need for us to understand the different streams in which this plastic waste actually manifests. And one thing that we've also talked about today has to do with the issue of we people not really knowing, having the information. There's so many alternatives out there that people don't really understand. And it's important that you have highlighted some of these things. And it's important that people know that you can actually have like a good meal without actually using plastic. And we know that changing habits is difficult, but we need to make the effort. So that's the overreaching message I'm taking out from our discussion today. Let's try and make the effort, and let's try our best. So just to leave you with this broad message on Food Farm Talk, thank you very much for tuning in, and hopefully see you again next week. Thank you.